All right, in our remaining time together, I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. The Lord has been working in my heart in regard to the story of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, and specifically in Sunday school over the next few weeks, we are going to be looking at the work of Satan to seek to destroy the Christ child. We have that recorded here in Matthew chapter 2. We also have it recorded in Revelation chapter 12. The first 21 verses deal with the evil of the dragon to destroy the child. And the Bible gives us a lot of important terms that we need to take note of in that regard to show you the depth of the hatred for Jesus Christ. But I want to look at a little bit different theme on Wednesday nights during this month. In Matthew chapter 2, I want to begin reading at verse 13 of this passage, chapter 2. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Now that's important language. What is he going to do? He will seek the young child to destroy him. This isn't an injury type thing. This is a destruction type thing. And can you imagine your life and the upheaval that would come if you were told that you needed to leave and go to a foreign country and abide there, not knowing how long you're going to be there? Stay there till I send you word to come back. Now, you know, we've been through a year, have we not? 2020 has been one of those years of upheaval. We've had COVID-19. We've had storms. We've had hurricanes. We've had all kinds of things that have changed the way we do life. And you think about how it's disrupted you. But imagine being told that you have to leave the United States and go to another country and remain there for an undisclosed period of time. What kind of upheaval would that bring to you? And that's what was required of Joseph and Mary and the baby. Because someone sought specifically to take your child and destroy them. I just want to, as a grandparent tonight, I've thought about this. You read this passage. Let's continue on. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night." Why did they go by night? So they wouldn't be seen and noticed. Because someone was trying to kill this child. That's the hatred that Satan had for this one sent from God to redeem lost sinners. Don't ever forget that. Oh, how we put a big smiley face on Christmas, and it's a wonderful time, and I don't want to take anything away from that. But I want you to know that everything was not joy and happiness. All right? There weren't presents under a Christmas tree for Mary and Joseph and the baby. Do you understand that? It was flee for your life. So they went by night, we're told here, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Now, by the way, the word children there is in the masculine tense, so it's male, right? Male, no mention of female here, so it's male. And most Bible scholars believe that under 100 children were killed, but even one is devastating, and I want to bring that out in just a moment. Now notice, he slew all the children, the male children, that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Can you imagine that? You know, we read our Bibles sometimes. I think, you know, we get up in the morning and we read the Bible. Yeah. No, there's no yeah here. All right, I want to wake us up a little bit tonight. This is very important to understand the battle of the ages that was fought so you could participate in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Let's just call it like it was. Let's not try to sanitize the Bible. We live in an age of sanitizing the Bible, trying to emasculate its truth. Now think about it. I thought about this in regard to our own church. We've got a lot of children two and under in our church. And I thought about a government decree that said they will be by, and we're going to take your children, if it's a male child, and we're going to kill it. You know, it was not just taking your child, it was killing the child in front of the parents. There's a lot of things written in Jewish history about that time and the terrible cries of mothers. I thought about it in reference to my own grandson, who's 10 months old this week and would have been included in that group if we lived in Judah at that time. He would be gone. And I thought about, you know, in just 10 months, we've come to love this little grandson and watching him grow and develop and all that kind of stuff and his personality and how he lights up, you know, whenever you see him, and we light up whenever we see him, and that a connection that's there. And God knew all of that before He ever sent His Son, Jesus Christ, that there were going to be little children killed when the Christ child arrived on this earth. But you understand, it was the wickedness of a king that sought to destroy those children that he saw as threats to his throne. Little babies, little children, boys, threats to his throne. You know, 18, 20 years down the road, well, that's pretty proud thinking you're going to be around that long. I don't understand how people can become so proud in themselves. I'm going to be around for 100 years. God may not want you around that long. Amen? Oh. No amen. There. Now, I don't wish death upon anyone. But you know, there's a story in the Bible about Hezekiah. You remember that story? God told him he was going to die. And he turned his face to the wall, the Bible says, and he wept and he cried and he wept and he cried. And God said, all right, I'm going to let you live. And you know what happened? In the 15 years that were added onto his life, he had some wicked boys that were born. And Manasseh, a son that was born during that time, became the cruel leader of the kingdom. Yeah. Hezekiah got those 15 years, but he brought horror to the children of Israel. You see, God knows what's best. God knows what's best. We like to say that, oh yeah, God knows what's best. God knows what's best. What does that mean? How does that play out? For God's best to happen, little children had to die because of a cruel king who saw these boys as threats to him. That's why Jesus came, to die on the cross, to save iniquitous sinners that would kill children. You know, I've thought about this in regard to America. What is in our future here in America? What's going on in America? Hate. Just pure out hate that flows from a heart of iniquity and lawlessness. And Joseph and Mary lived in that time, just like that, where a threat came down. And it wasn't just a threat, it was an actual action made by the king to kill these babies.
You say, you're putting a real damper on our Christmas, Pastor Brainerd.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But we're living in some tough times, folks. We're living in some tough times. And to think for one second that somehow this is all going to, we're never going to have to deal with that. Do you think Joseph and Mary thought that they would ever have to deal with that? That young couple, to get the news, you're going to have to leave and you're going to have to go to Egypt because the king seeks to destroy your baby boy. Who would think you would have to do that? That's how much Satan hated Jesus Christ. I was reading some time ago, I think it was a couple of years ago, because I have a file, it's about this thick, of all of the Christmas sermons and materials I've collected over the years on the Incarnation and virgin birth. And there was a pastor that lived in the 16th century. His name was John Donne. John Donne is more well known for his poetry than anything else. I said 16th century, 17th century, I apologize. But he wrote on a Christmas Day sermon in 1626. Now, by the way, soon after that, Christmas was outlawed in Great Britain. All right, so this is right before the official stoppage of Christmas, and then it reappears in the 1800s. Around 1839, 1840, they start celebrating Christmas again, almost 200 years without it. But in 1626, just 6 years after the Pilgrims arrived in Massachusetts, he wrote this: Christ's birth and His death were but one continual act of sacrifice. And that thought has set me aback. It was one continuous act. Christ's birth all the way to His death was one continuous act of sacrifice, and His Christmas Day and His Good Friday are but the evening and morning of one and the same day. That thought brought me to this passage of Scripture here because it shows that sacrifice. Would you call having to leave and go to a foreign country a sacrifice? Would you call someone hunting your child to kill him and having to hide a sacrifice? Absolutely. We've gotten really comfy in America. But do you realize that around the world that there are many people tonight that live? There are people in Central Asia that are concerned about a possible government coming into churches and church homes to stop the worship of God because of Muslim influence or some other religion. And you think about that for just, you talk about sacrifices. Oh, there are people that have made great sacrifices. And Joseph and Mary and the Christ child, that was the beginning of a whole life of sacrifices. Why? Because of Satan's hatred of the Christ that would bring redemption to you and to me. He doesn't want people to go to heaven. Where does He want people to go? He wants them to go to eternal hell. That's what awaits Satan. And He wants as many. He wants every one of our children. He wants every one of our teenagers. He wants everyone that doesn't know Jesus Christ to spend all eternity apart from God with Him. The ultimate selfish act of Satan. To scoop in and sweep in as many as possible to be with Him in eternal damnation. I know that I'm being very strong tonight in what I am saying. But I think it's important. We are watching in this world today a ratcheting up of satanic work. Because there's something on the horizon. What is it? What's on the horizon? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. You thought I was going to say Antichrist. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's going to come back. And He knows that everything at the table is just about set. And He is ratcheting up His work, and He's ratcheting up His work against what group of people? Christians. Christians. Why Christians? Christians are peace-loving people. Christians aren't out shooting up neighborhoods. Isn't it amazing how many people have died this year in our big cities? And it's just like, ho-hum. But if people gather and worship in a church building, don't they know that they're becoming a part of the problem? They're a super... Wait a minute. People are dying on the streets of America with gunshots and stabbings in Chicago, 25 last weekend. 25. And yet, what are we doing? We don't realize it, but we are watching all about us. Satan is at work, and he is stirring up the ire against one group of people, God's own. Just like he did whenever Jesus came the first time. Jesus is coming the second time, and don't you think for just a second that Satan's going to sit down and just watch things happen. He is stirring up the world. And so, I want to, on Wednesday nights, I'm going to look at this season of sacrifice. From Christ's birth until His death, I want us to kind of look at how the Bible is a long stream of sacrifice. And it continues on past the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It continues on all the way until the eternal reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's what God calls upon His people to do, is sacrifice. Now, let me ask, I want to close with this question. Can you sacrifice for God? I'm going to share next time individuals who were called upon to sacrifice for God in history. From the Bible, I'm going to share with you the story of a man, a pastor, the first reformer to be executed in England. Awakened out of prison, not allowed to see his family. You can't see your family. He had 10 children and a wife, and one of them was a baby. Marched past him on his way, and he went by, and they said they watched this pastor as he went by as if he was going to a wedding. But he was going to his death. And what was his crime? He proclaimed Jesus Christ outside of the norms of how church was to be done. I want to awaken our hearts, folks, to the fact that God may call upon us to sacrifice. Are you willing to do that? Can we pull ourselves away from the norm of society and do right and suffer for it? It's nice to talk about, but it's another thing to do it. And I feel and I think that it's important for us to understand and know this. We are in a season of sacrifice. And we need to be alert to that. We need to be aware of that. That things will be changing. They've been changing for some time, but things will be changing. And we need to understand and know that as we approach the time when the trumpet sounds and we'll be snatched out of here. Amen? We're not going to go crying. We're going to go rejoicing because we serve a God who is greater than any king, greater than any leader, greater than the devil. He is all-powerful. We may be called upon, though, to sacrifice, and we need to be prepared to do that. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts tonight. Lord, You called upon Joseph and Mary to sacrifice. They had to be torn away from their job, their home, everything that they knew, their family, and they had to go into hiding for almost 2 years in a foreign country that they had never been to. They had to sacrifice and then brought back into that land, and then all the jeers and the mockery that came because people did the math
And they began to realize that this baby could have been born out of wedlock. And so the accusations came, sacrifice, sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would teach us from your word this element that is like a red thread throughout the Bible. And I pray that you'd alert us to us, even in the incarnation story. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.